Hey guys. So, now this peaceful word, the real word, why are we here in this world? Can anybody say why we are in this world? Why we are in this world? Yeah, very good answer. Very nice. So this is the, we have discussed in the fifth session, isn't it? Last session. Why we are in this world? Why we are suffering in this world? And when we, where we are going to go after death? Anybody can answer? Golokdham. Yes, if you chant Hare Krishna, develop love for Krishna, love for God in this life, you will go back to spiritual world. Otherwise, we have to take birth again. And then in this matter, again, if you take birth in the human being, then again you have to study for another 20 years. Then again they get job, then again the same cycle. Punarapi jananam, punarapi marnam, punarapi jananam, jatresayana. Shankaracharya says, punarapi, again take birth, punarapi jananam, punarapi manam, again die, punarapi jananam, jatresayana, again go in the womb of the mother, suffer for 7 months in the womb of the mother. So all these points we have discussed, like initially we asked some questions, who we are, isn't it? We discussed that human beings are meant to inquire about the higher dimension of life, who we are. So that is answer, that we are a spirit soul. You have got answer? Why are we suffering? Can anybody answer? Why are we suffering in this world? Why are we suffering?
Because we are attracted by
Because of our tendency to commit sinful activities. We discussed in the third session. Because our tendency to break the laws of the God, we are suffering in this world. And then, where from have we come in this world? So he thought that from the spiritual world. And where are we going to go after death? Depends on if we perfect our life, purify our existence, our heart in this lifetime, and develop love for the God and love for everybody, all the living entities, of course, then we will go back to Godhead, the spiritual world. But if we could not do, then we have to again take birth and again in the cycle. We have to suffer. And then, so like this, most of the questions we have answered. Now one question still remains. If God is one, then why there are so many religions? Isn't it? There are so many religions and so many people, they say this is the best path to approach God. If you follow my religion, is best. Some people say what yoga I am teaching, that is best. Some people say what definition I am giving for God, that is best. But then how to decide what is best? Can anybody say after these 5 sessions? We are told how to get the perfect knowledge. How to get the perfect knowledge. If there are contradictions, then how to decide who is correct? Anybody? One of higher authority, very good. By Guru Parampara and by checking through Vedas. So what Veda says, what scripture says, we should accept that, not what I say or what you say. When I say, I may say wrong because I am imperfect. You say, you may be wrong because you are imperfect. But what Veda says or what God says in Bhagavad Gita, that cannot be imperfect. So that we should take as an authority and we should decide based on that. If my saying is matching with what is there in the Bhagavad Gita, then we should accept that. If my saying is not matching with Bhagavad Gita, then we should reject that. Very simple. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that Yoginam api sarvesam madgate nantaratmana sadhavan bhajate yomam sameyuktatamo matah. Krishna says that Yoginam api sarvesam, among all the yogis, madgate nantaratmana, the one who thinks constantly of me, 24 hours about me, sadhavan bhajate mam, and he does bhakti. Bhajate means bhakti. Bhakti yoga with faith and conviction. Sa me yuktatmo mata. He is the best yogi among all the yogis. So Krishna says at the end of the 6th chapter, in the 2nd chapter Krishna explains about Sankhya yoga, that is Jnana yoga. In 3rd chapter he explains about Karma yoga, and in the 6th chapter he explains about Dhyana yoga. But at the end of 6th chapter he is saying that all the yoga what I have discussed, among all the bhakti yogis are best, in my opinion, Krishna is saying. So in Krishna's opinion, Krishna is saying, Krishna also is not forcing. Nobody forces, there is no force. God also will never force. He has given us free will to accept what is correct and what is not. Even after giving whole Bhagavad Gita to Krishna, to Arjuna, Krishna is saying that now I have spoken everything to you. Now you have to decide what you want to do. I have given all the knowledge to you. You now decide what you want to do. Still after telling so much Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving Arjuna to decide. He is not forcing. So that is. So nobody can force us. But we have to decide what is good for us, which direction we want to go. So similarly, there are so many questions, which path is correct? But then where we should look? In Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, the one who is my devotee, he is the greatest yogi. So bhakti yogis are greatest yogis. Krishna is saying so many places. Krishna is saying, avajanan bhaktya mam abhijanati evam yasasmi tatut. Only my devotee can know me. Only by bhakti you can know me as I am. So nobody, he is not saying that jnani mam abhijanati or yogi mam abhijanati. No, he is saying that only bhaktya, only by bhakti, by loving service, love, developing love for Krishna, only we can understand Krishna. That's what he is saying in Bhagavad Gita. Also Krishna says, so many places he is pointing out about the bhakti yoga. And bhakti yoga starts with chanting the holy name of the Lord. Satat kirtayanto mam ye jana paripasate. The one who constantly chants my name, he is very dear to me, Krishna is saying, Bhagavad Gita. So, there are so many statements in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna proves that what is the best path. But now, so therefore we should approach that. And also there are common sense through which we can understand this. So today, in this class, we are going to discuss a very important topic, that if God is one, then why so many religions? So this is the last topic of our series. Why did God create so many religions? Some people say that all paths lead to the same goal. But it's not like that. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, those who worship ghosts, they will go to ghosts. Those who worship demigods, they will go to the heavenly planets. Those who worship the forefathers, they will go to the planets of forefathers. Those who worship me, they will come to my abode. So just see that all paths are not same. Very clearly Krishna is saying Bhagavad Gita that the destination is different. It's just saying that all paths are same means saying that I'll go to the New Delhi railway station and any train I'll ride and I'll go to the same place. It's not like that. If you ride on the train, board on the train which is going to Bangalore, you'll go to Bangalore, isn't it? If you board on the train which is going to Bombay, you'll go to Bombay. You're going to say that all trains go to the same place. No, it's not like that. So similarly, why there are different names, forms, worship, rituals and rites of God? These questions we'll answer today. Is there any path that synthesizes all that these religions? Is there any one ultimate goal behind all these religions? So what is the path? So why so many religions? Why so many religions? So this is mentioned that, can anybody read this? Yes. So there is two types of instruction. One is instruction in pure form, completely pure instruction without dilution. But if the audience is not in a position to receive the knowledge in the pure diluted form, then the message is given in diluted form, modified form. So that at least, rather, he may not make 100% advancement, but at least he makes 50% advancement. 50% advancement is better than no advancement. So according to the level of audience, the message is given. And because of that, there are varieties of religions. Just like, I will give you an example. Suppose, there are two people, okay? And one is smoking 20 cigarettes and another is smoking 5 cigarettes. And both of them have lung problem, lung disease. So, first the one who is smoking 20 cigarettes, he goes to doctor. Now doctor knows that because of the smoking heavy cigarette, he is having this problem. So the doctor, what doctor wants? He wants that he should stop cigarette, isn't it? That is the best for him. But then doctor is expert, he knows that it's not so easy to stop cigarette. If you tell that to stop cigarette, then this person is not going to come next time. Understand your point? Because he's so much addicted that it's not possible for him to stop cigarette. So what doctor said? Doctor said that, okay, how many cigarettes you are smoking? 20. So, okay, now from today onwards, you smoke 10. Okay? Now 10. So he said, okay, I'll try my best. That also is saying, I'll try my best. And then he comes out, then another patient goes. He asked, doctor, how many cigarettes you are smoking? I'm smoking 5 cigarettes. So if you want to get rid of this problem, you have to give up cigarette. He tells, okay doctor, I'll try my best. So because he is smoking 5 only, doctor tells that, you leave it. Because the doctor knows that he is not that much addicted. If he puts little effort, then he can give it up. Now, both these patients meet later. Okay? And then one asks to other, that what doctor said to you? Then he told, the doctor said that you can smoke 10 cigarettes. But then I said, no, how is it possible? I was smoking only 5 and doctor said me to stop it. So how for the same disease, doctor can give different instructions for different people? You all are understanding? Aap sabhi samajh gaye baat main kya bolna chahta hun? So, does it mean that doctor is impartial? Doctor is impartial, is it like that? No. The doctor is not impartial. But because the condition of the patient is not like that, that's why he has to give. But doctor knows that, okay, once he comes to the platform of smoking 10 cigarettes, then next time I'll tell to come to the 5. Understand point? Next time when he comes, I'll tell, so now we come to the 5 cigarette. And then finally he will tell, give up cigarette. So the purpose of doctor is to let him leave cigarette forever. That is the best for his health. But because he cannot do it, that's why there is adjustments in the instruction. So that, therefore, according to the condition of the audience to whom this religion is being spoken, how much pure-hearted people are there, accordingly, the instruction is given in the pure form. Just like, if you, another example you can take, like suppose a child is there. If you say, you start teaching child Laplace transform, and in third standard you start teaching him Laplace transform, what will be happening to child? He will develop mathophobia. And throughout his life he will never touch mathematics book at all. He will have this impression that this mathematics is most difficult subject to touch. So therefore, the teacher gives the task according to his level. And when that same child, after studying gradually, second class, third class, fourth class, different various levels, when he comes to the engineering level, higher engineering mathematics, then he is given Laplace transform. So, now one may question, why he did not give Laplace transform first day itself? Oh, ultimately he has to come to Laplace transform only. Why was it not given earlier? Because he was not in a position to receive it. That's what Jesus Christ told, you know. That I have so many things to tell you, but you are not in a position to receive it. That is a statement Jesus Christ has told. And similarly, so there are so many statements, like you see, Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Do not have sex with mothers and sisters, mentioned in Quran. Just imagine what kind of audience Prophet Muhammad was preaching. They were involved in sex life unrestrictedly. They were not differentiating between mother and sister. Like I'll ask you that, I'll tell you that you should not smoke, isn't it? I forget your name. What is your name? Bridge Mohan. You should not smoke. If you are not smoking, why I should tell you you should not smoke? I am telling you, you should not smoke because you are smoking, isn't it? So similarly, when Prophet Muhammad is giving this instruction, do not have sex with mothers and sisters, means people are doing like that. They are doing that thing. So such was the mental condition of the people to whom Prophet Muhammad was preaching. So that's why he gave the instruction according to their level. He told you can marry 3-4 wives, but take responsibility of your wives. Don't do sex unrestrictedly. Like that, he compromised with the principles according to the time, place and circumstance. So depending on time, place and circumstance, there is various religions in this world. Therefore there are differences in religions, you can see. Because people will not be able to, but the basic principles, if you go to all the religions, the essential principles of all the religion is the same. What are those essential principles? The God is one. Love God, obey God's laws, service to God, return to kingdom of God, sin no more. All religions talks about chanting the holy name. Whether it is Sikh, or whether it is Islam religion, or whether it is Christianity or Hindus, Sanatana Dharma, all the religions, they talk about chanting the holy name. Sacrifice and renunciation of material pleasures. Approaching a spiritual master, bona fide authority, who can guide us. So these all religions talk about that. So people say, no, don't become stick to one religion, become secular. Secular, on the name of becoming secular, they are propagating simply atheism. When Muslims are telling about their religion, they say, oh, you are a sectarian. And then when Hindus are going, they are saying you are sectarian. When Christians are going, they are saying you are sectarian. Everybody is sectarian, then what are you? If you are not ready to listen to any religion, means you want to become atheist. Very simple. So on the name of secularism, people are propagating atheism. So these are the basic principles, essential principles behind all the religion. There is much that I have to tell you, but you cannot bear it. This is Christ is explaining in Bhagavad Gita, in Bible. So from this statement, what can we make out? That he has not revealed everything to the people. In Bible, there are knowledge, but only that much is given which the audience can digest. Similarly, it is mentioned in Hadith when Prophet Muhammad met God, Allah. Allah told him that I am giving you knowledge in three parts. The first part is only for you. You are not going to tell you anybody. The second part, you can tell others or you may not tell others depending on the qualification of the person. And third part, you are going to reveal it to everybody. That is Quran. So, from this, what can you understand? I have confirmed this statement with one of my Muslim friend. He told, yes, that is there. So, what is that? That even in Islam religion also, the complete truth is not shown. Only that much is shown, which is people can digest. Because condition of people are not complete. Even you can see Jesus Christ, he spoke only partial truth. For that only they killed him. For partial truth only he told and people crucified him. They could not digest that much only. So this is the problem. So therefore, these prophets, they have to be very careful in giving the truth. How much then they can give. But in Bhagavad Gita, if you see, Krishna is saying, I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and noumenal, by knowing which there shall remain nothing further to be known. So Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling, I am giving everything, 100% knowledge. And if you understand this knowledge, there is nothing further to be known. So which is complete knowledge? Bhagavad Gita is a complete knowledge. Why? Why God is one place, when he is giving knowledge to Arjuna, he is giving complete knowledge, and others he is not giving complete knowledge. Why? Because Arjuna is such a self-controlled person, you know, that once he went to the heavenly planets, and then Urvashi approached him for marriage. Urvashi was very attracted to Arjuna. So she told, she proposed that I want to get married to you. Arjuna was such a self-controlled personality, he told, no, how can I marry you? You are my mother. But such a powerful personality. Arjuna is called Gudakesh. Gudakesh means who has conquered the sleep. He's Gudakesh. Such a controlled personality, such a self-controlled personality, the knowledge is given in pure form. Because he can digest it. If a person who is too much addicted to opposite sex, you tell him that we should renounce everything. The next time he will not come to me. Isn't it? So better than that, we tell him, okay, you marry that girl, and then at the same time try to practice spirituality. Isn't it? But final purpose is what? Final purpose is that everything is going to get taken away from us. Even the sexual enjoyment and everything, finally. So better that sooner we get detached from all these things. That is best. But at the same time, so therefore knowledge is adjusted depending on the person to person. Otherwise, people will not come to a spirituality, isn't it? They will be fearful of coming. Just like a doctor, if somebody is very attached to smoking, like I gave example, so if he tells first day itself that he should immediately, otherwise you should not come to me next time. Either you will stop smoking or you should not come. So what will he do? You cannot stop smoking because he is so much addicted. So he will not come next time. So this is not the cure. At least he comes to doctor, at least gradually doctor will give some medicine and gradually he will get relieved from the problem. So therefore expert doctors say like that. But if you are completely pure, you are pure, very highly advanced and self-controlled, then the complete knowledge is given as Krishna is giving to Bhagavad Gita Arjuna. Another, like, you know, meat eating. Different religions, same message. In Islam it is mentioned that you can eat animals except pig and dog after sacrifice. Okay? Like Muslims say that no, the meat eating is allowed in their religion. Okay? But how it is allowed, that we have to understand. It is mentioned the process through which they do the meat eating, that is called halal. That process, they name it as halal. You know what is the process? They say that if you want to eat meat, you cannot eat, buy and eat meat. You have to cut the animal yourself. That is the process of halal. And while cutting, you cannot cut with the sharp knife. Knife should not be sharp, it should be blunt knife. And while cutting, you have to look in the eyes of the animal. Why so many restrictions are there? Can anybody say? Can anybody guess? Yes, you are right, 100%. On the span of time, gradually you will understand why I am giving pain. When you look in the eyes of the animal suffering, you will realize that what I am, for my tongue purpose, I am giving so much pain to this animal. That is the purpose of such regulations. Even Muslims, if they follow the regulations, they will give up meat eating after some time. But they don't do. And on the name of Islam, they say, no, meat eating is allowed. Let us go and buy somebody. If I show you the way they kill the animal, I have one video, you will not be able to watch. It is so horrible, so painful situation. I was just tried to see, but I could not see. I had to close the video. So horrible. You will not be able to bear it. They were killing cows. There is one video. And I saw completely, you know, so much pain you will feel. What to speak of the animals which are directly feeling. For us, seeing itself is so, you know, painful. What will be the condition of the animals who are suffering that pain? So like that, you know. So this is the what I wanted to make out. So all, even in Islam, if meat eating is allowed, the purpose is this, to stop it. But because people cannot stop everything, so gradually there is process. Okay, it is allowed. But you can do, but this is the process. And the process is defined in such a way that if you do stick to the process, then gradually you will become detached of meat eating. So that is the process. Similarly, in Christianity also, Roman Catholics take meat every day except Friday. If Christianity allows meat eating, then why one day it is not allowed? Can anybody say? Is that very important day? Good Friday? It is good day. See, good day you should not eat meat, isn't it? So means meat eating is bad. On good day, if you cannot eat meat, you should not eat it, means what? Meat eating is? You should be intelligent enough to understand. This is the point, what is being made here. like that. But Sanatana Dharma, what it says, this is called knowledge in pure form. Meat eating is a pillar of sinful life, and true spiritual life cannot begin until we show mercy towards all God's creatures. This is pure knowledge. But clearly it is said that meat eating is pillar of sinful life. Unless you don't stop it, your spiritual life cannot begin at all. So this is, you can see the differences in the various statements. But the principle behind is the same, that show mercy to others, each and every living entity. So you can see that how the knowledge is pure. So you can see the criticism, which is the highest statements are there in the Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is giving much purest form instructions in the Sanatana Dharma. Even on the age wise, you can see, duration wise, you can see here, the Islam is 1300 years back, started, isn't it? Then Christianity started 2000 years back, Buddhism 2500 years back. Bhagavad Gita was spoken to Arjuna 5000 years back. But this, no one can trace out the origin of Sanatana Dharma. No one can trace out which point Sanatana Dharma started. That's why its name is Sanatana. Sanatana means what? Eternal. Eternal religion. Always, nitya. Always existing religion. So Sanatana Dharma is the coming from down of creation. So number of years also, if you compare, Sanatana Dharma is the oldest religion, isn't it? So that's why we say that Sanatana Dharma is the purest form of religion, gives the purest form of religion. This is another angle. Depth of verifiable and inconceivable information in Vedas is far greater than the other scriptures. Like Vedic knowledge is much detailed information is given. Rather than other scriptures, if you compare with other scriptures like Bible or Quran, what is the size? If whole Bible can come within this much page, that much is our Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And what we speak of Vedas, yesterday we were discussing 10 to 10 slokas, Puranas, you know, Upanishads. There is one Brahman Purana, you know. Brahman Purana only discusses about what are the structure of the universe. What are the various components of the universe? Whole detailed explanation is there. So in Bible, why it is, what it says? It is mentioned, God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's a fact. God said, let there be light, and there was light. Because as soon as God desires, the things takes place. That is the power of the God. Because His potency, His energy are so powerful that as soon as He desires, the things manifest. But from the desire, point of desire to the point of manifestation, there are so many processes happens. There are so many transformation stages takes place. Let there be earth, and there was earth. But how it was, how it happens, that is not mentioned in detail. But if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, philosophy of 24, there is Srimad Bhagavatam on the other hand gives step by step information of how the creation of the universe as well as all living beings takes place. The Sankhya philosophy of 24 elements of the universe given in Vedic scriptures is scientifically explainable and provable. This Sankhya philosophy, you can read this. This is how the universe was created. This is explanation given in Srimad Bhagavatam. One portion of that we have taken. Can anybody read?
The self-centered materialistic ego, firstly transformed into three features, becomes known as the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance in three divisions, namely the path that evolved matter, knowledge of material creations, and the intelligence that guides such materialistic activities. Nada, you are quite competent to one's ego was to five elements, namely the sky and the river. Its subtle form is the quality of sound, exactly as the sea is in relationship to the sea.
Yes. You can read this also. This is in continuation with last one. This is the continuation.
Because the sky is transformed, the air is generated to the quality of touch, and by previous succession of the air is also full of sound and the basic principles of duration of life, sense perception, mental power and body strength. When the air is transformed in course of time and nature's course, fire is generated, taking shape with the sense of touch and sound. Since fire is also transformed, there is a manifestation of water for the juice and taste. As previously, it also has form and touch and is also full of sound. In water, being transformed from all the very gentleness on earth, appears odorous and has previously becomes qualitatively full of juice, touch, sound and form respectively.
Yes. This also you can read.
From the mode of goodness, the mind is generated and becomes manifest. Is also the main demigods controlling the bodily movements. Such demigods are known as the controller of direction, the controller of air, the sun god, the father of Daksh Prajapati, the Ashwini Kumaras, the fire god, the king of heaven, the worshipable deity in heaven, the chief of the Adityas, the Brahmaji, the Prajapati. All come into existence. By the further transformation of the mode of passion, the sense organs like ear, skin, nose, eyes, tongue, mouth, hands, genitals, legs, in the outlet for evacuating, together with intelligence and living energy, are all generated.
Yes. So you can see how detailed way each and every process is explained. And this, for us, it appears that this is how the earth, water, air, sound, fire, it's little unknowing terms for us, you know. But actually, the Sankhya philosophy, if you read in detail, it is scientifically proved. The Sankhya, there are Sankhya philosophers, they can explain based on this the entire structure of the universe. In so much detailed way, it's not like just let, here the detailed information is given, more detailed way the information is given. How the universe was created, how the whole thing came into picture. So this is one of the points which I wanted to make here, that the depth of information which is available here is also very high. Many religions say, God is great, God is love, God is almighty, but they hardly have information about how the God is great. God is great, everybody knows, but how He is great? Isn't it? That we have to understand. But they don't explain this, how He is great. How He is love, how much He loves, who knows? So the how He is love, God is love. But we can understand when we read Bhagavad Gita that Arjun, the Krishna who is the Supreme Lord, He is God Himself. He accepted out of love to become the servant, chariot driver of His devotee Arjun. He loves His devotee so much. So from this example we can understand that how God is love. Although Krishna is God, Supreme Lord, but out of love for His devotee and respect for His devotee, He was washing the feet of His devotee Sudama. So how He is great, how He has so much love for His devotees, that is explained in Sanatana Dharma, in much detailed way. It is mentioned in other scriptures that is the kingdom of God, but what is there in the kingdom of God? But it is explained in the Brahma Samhita. Venum kwanantam arvinda dalaya taksham varahavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam. So like very detailed way, how God looks like, how He is most beautiful. Everything. Chintamani prakar sadmasu kalpa briksha. Like each and every detail is given about the kingdom of God. Each and every stone in the kingdom of God is called Chintamani, touchstone. Desire stone. Whatever you desire, you get it. That is the nature of the kingdom of God. So detailed explanation is given in the Sanatana Dharma scriptures, Vedic scriptures. So how God is great, how God is love, how God is almighty. It is mentioned that Krishna, when he was 6 years old child, he lifted Govardhani. How he lifted Govardhani? On his little finger. And not on his little finger, on the nail of the little finger. That is potency. And why he lifted Govardhani? Can anybody say? Not because he wanted to show his prowess. That is one of the reasons. But to protect his devotees. To protect his devotees, Krishna says, that paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya cha duskritan dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yugaji. Why is Lord incarnate? Paritranaya sadhunam. To protect the devotees. To protect the good people. And to kill the, destroy the miscreants. Paritranaya sadhunam vinasaya cha duskritan. To destroy the miscreants. So, you see how God is the strongest. He lifted Govardhani on his nail. From this activity you can understand that he is the strongest. Although he is 6 years old child, he can do the greatest work. So like this, there are so many incidences. He gives love to his devotee. So Krishna, who is possessor of 6 opulences, Krishna is the most wealthy person. Krishna is the most famous person. Krishna is most beautiful person. If you read about Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam, you will come to know that Krishna was having all these qualities. Now let us take example of beauty. Who is the beauty queen on this earth? Can anybody say? You know, Miss Universe. But a person who is most beautiful, he may not be most knowledgeable. Isn't it? Like Aishwarya Rai. Aishwarya Rai is very beautiful. Isn't it? But in intelligence, you all are better than Aishwarya Rai. Isn't it? You all are doing engineering. You all are better than Aishwarya Rai. So he may, in this world, a person may be very beautiful, but he may not be very intelligent. Isn't it? Very knowledgeable. Or a person may be beautiful and knowledgeable, but he may not be very powerful. Or if he may be powerful also, but he may not be all renounced. Like Krishna, he is so renounced. Although he is the God himself, his position is a position of God. But then he gives up his position of God and accepts the position of servant of his devotee Arjuna. It's not a renunciation. Suppose Rashtrapati is coming and telling that I'll drive your car. Is it not a great renunciation? Renouncing the position? So what is the greatest wealth? Greatest wealth? People say that my name and fame. They say that for a respectable person, the losing the honor is the as good as death. So God is such a renounced person that he loses all his egoistic mentality and he accepts to become the servant of his devotee. That's why he is renounced. Who can do? If somebody is very knowledgeable, you know, he will be puffed up for his knowledge. But God is not like that. So a person, wealth may also, Krishna has so many riches. When he was on the earth, he married 16,108 wives. Now you all say, if Krishna married 16,108, why can't we four or five? Yes, you can do if you can maintain them. Why not? You do it. But the problem is that for maintaining one only, ek ko maintain karne mein hamara pasina nikal jata hai. Hai ki nahi? But Krishna, it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when Krishna was married 16,108 wives, he created 16,108 palaces for each and every one of them in Dwarka. And simultaneously he was present in each palaces. Ek saath sare jo mahal the, sab mein Krishna jo vidyaman rahte the. Ye nahi ki ek wife ke saath hai, to baki jo hai 16,107 raniyan hai jo akeli hai, nahi. He was present in each and every palace simultaneously. That's why he is God. That is the potency of God. He expanded himself into the 16,108 forms. And every wife was thinking that Krishna is only with me. He is my henpecked husband. But actually, Krishna is with everybody. All the wives. So this is God. How much wealth he was having. So this is the point we have to understand. So that is the God. God means complete in everything. He must be complete in everything. Otherwise he cannot be God. So that's what Krishna... So that's why we say, chant Krishna's name. Because Krishna is the only personality in the history of all the scriptures you take who has shown all these qualities together. All other incarnations, they have never shown all these qualities. Few of them are there, but not all these. That's why Krishna is called the Supreme Lord. That's why we tell people to chant Krishna, Krishna's name. Why? He does not leave, he comes just like when you go to movie, during the interval there is a trailer of the next movie which is coming, isn't it? Next movie which is going to come in the hall, cinema hall, that they show the trailer. So Krishna comes here and shows the trailer and he goes back. He shows that this is my beautiful pastimes and my dear sons, please see. And then he goes away and if you want to see always, then please come to my abode. There my pastimes are going eternally. This is a trailer. He shows, comes and shows trailer and then he goes back. And he tells, promise that man mana bhav mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaisya si satyam te prati jani priyasime. You become, think of me, you become my devotee, you worship me. I promise you that you will come to my abode. All those palaces. No, palaces are not. It is mentioned that when Krishna left this universe, then all those, even the city of Dwarka was submerged in the water. Those palaces disappeared. Those palaces were transcendental palaces. When Krishna was present, they appeared, and when Krishna went, everything was disappeared because it's only for the pleasure of the God, not for our pleasure. All those palaces were created for the pleasure of Krishna and they disappeared when Krishna went from here. Proof. Vedas have proof. Understand your point? Vedas we have to accept. Vedas, why Vedas will tell lie? Understand your point? Why he will tell lie? He is saying so many other things true, like Ayurveda and Vastu Shastra, other things. So why he will tell this point lie? And it is nothing impossible. For God, why it's impossible? And proofs are the acharyas, isn't it? So many acharyas, they have perceived it. So many great acharyas like Ramanuja Acharya, Madhva Acharya, they all have supported the Vedic literatures because they have found the truth. And they are such a great scholastic personalities. So why they will accept something rubbish, which is not baseless thing, which is baseless thing? Why such great acharya, such great scholar personality, they will accept it? Yes? Yeah, that is there. But still, the might doubt is always there. Anybody can doubt. Even you can doubt. What is the guarantee that this tree is there? That tree. Understand your point? Now Yamuna is there. The Govardhan Parvat Hill is there. The Vrindavan is there. Mathura is there. All these cities, all these cities are there. This itself is a proof.
The tree is there.
Yeah, Kurukshetra. Now one may argue there also that, okay, that tree would maybe have been planted later. What is the guarantee? It is the same tree. So always there is doubt. That's why I was saying, if you want to create doubt, then there is sufficient doubt in this universe. Because this world has been created in such a way that you will have so many doubts again and again. But if you want to have faith, then there are so many evidences which will enhance your faith also. It's up to our choice, whether you want to go nearer to God or we want to go away from God. So both things are there. I will tell you, there are good things and there are bad things. Both things are there in this world. It's up to us whom we want to select. And if we select in the positive way, positive are there, negatives are there. If you positive, then we will get benefited. If you select negative, we are going to get suffers. So this is the point. So like that there are in the Vedas also. Of course there are some of the things which like even now also, like somebody say, like I was explaining you, there are so many things which you may not be able to believe. Like when I was a child, in our mantra, like power of mantra, I'll tell you. Power of mantra. When I was a child in my village, the snake charmers used to come. Snake charmers. And they will take 5-10 rupees. So when I was small, this was size, we'll be always behind them, moving in this in the various streets of the village and seeing how they are taking out snakes from various houses, you know. And from surprise, you know, they will just say some mantra, chant some mantra, and we can see the snake is coming out of the house. And they will catch the snake. How many, any one of you have seen like this? He has also seen. How this person, is he has friendship with the snake? Does he have friendship? So snake knows that he is my best friend, so let me go and greet him. And the same snake which we have seen previously. And he will catch the with the danda, and one he will push his tail and catch him, and then he will put in his potli that snake. And like that he will go to various houses and take out the various snakes. And it is in front of our eyes he will do this. Now, how to disbelieve it? How to disbelieve? Now, power of mantra, modern science doesn't accept. How to disbelieve it? And there is no proof. What is the force that is pulling the snake? You may question. So, how to prove it? There are so many things. So, therefore, if you want to understand, there are sufficient proofs of the subtle nature of this world. But if you want to reject, then there are so many arguments we can give. So similarly, about the existence of God also, same is the case displayed. Now power of mantra, modern science doesn't accept. How to disbelieve it? And there is no proof. What is the force that is pulling the snake? You may question. So how to prove it? There are so many things. So therefore, if you want to understand, there are sufficient proofs of the subtle nature of this world. But if you want to reject, then there are so many arguments we can give. So similarly, about the existence of God also, same is the case. Glory of Vedic India, will not go in much detail. There are advanced mathematics which Indians discovered arithmetic and geometric progression. Arithmetic progression is explained in Yajurveda. Like AP and GP you study, na? When you come to 11th class. This is already there in the Yajurveda. Govinda Swami discovered Newton Gauss interpolation formula about 1800 years before. The same formula is there in the Veda, but the only thing is that it is not given name Newton Gauss interpolation formula. But it is already there. Similarly, Bhatteswaracharya discovered Newton Gauss backward interpolation formula about 1000 years before Newton. Similarly, there are so many formulas, you know. Nilakant discovered Newton's infinite geometric progression convergent series. Positive and negative numbers of their calculations were explained first by Brahmagupta in his book Brahmasput Siddhant. Aryabhatta also propounded the heliocentric theory of gravitation, thus predicting Copernicus by almost 1000 years before. So Copernicus, they say that the first person who understand, like even the earth is round, they came to know that after the Copernicus only we came to know that earth is round. Earlier they were not knowing. But if you read Vedic scriptures, everywhere it is mentioned that earth is bhugol. Earth is round, spherical shape. Everywhere it is mentioned. It's not like people earlier were fools, they were not knowing. No, everything is there in the Vedic knowledge. Veda say, a textbook on astronomy of ancient India, last compiled in 1000 BC, believed to be handed down from 3000 BC by aid of complex mnemonic mnemonic recital methods, still known as today. Earth's diameter is mentioned in Surya Siddhanta, 7,840 miles it is mentioned there. And now modern measurement says 7,926.7 miles. Now how it can be so close? If the people were not knowing this. So this is the perfection of the knowledge. So the distance between the earth and the moon is 2,53,000 miles. Compared to modern measurements of 2,52,700 miles. How it is so close? Glory of Vedic India. The value of pi was first calculated by Bodhayan. And he explained the concept of which is what is known as the Pythagoras theorem. The Pythagoras theorem is already there. But only when Pythagoras found it, he gave his name to this theorem. But it is already there in the Vedic India. They already, even the villages you go, they use. This is 3 and this is 4, then this will become 5. If they have to measure 5, then how will they measure? They will measure 3, 4 and then they will diameter, that much is the 5. If they want to create right, like when my home was getting constructed, that time they were tried to make the right angle. So how they used to make, you know, this they will measure 3 and 4 and then 3, 4 and then 5 will they will bring from this side and wherever the common meets that point they will and then they will draw the line and then they will measure this is the right angle. So this process is coming down from the Vedic times. But this Pythagoras theorem they came to learn very later. Algebra, trigonometry and calculus came from India. Quadratic equations were propounded by Sridharacharya in the 11th century. So it's not like that people in the Vedic culture they are fools. So why do we worship Sri Krishna as the Supreme? Let us analyze this. So people worship, there are various levels of platforms of worship. Like some people worship the God out of fear. That if I don't follow God, then God will destroy me. God will kill me. But higher than that, the people goes. Some people, they not out of fear, but they directly approach God. They please God, I have broken one nariyal, so now there is big list. You fulfill this, I should get a very beautiful wife. I should get very nice job also. I should get very intelligent son also, you know. And the, what about my business? That also should go nicely. So there are so many big lists. So people approach God for this purpose. So that is also the way to approach God. But better than that, some people approach God out of duty. They feel duty bound to approach God. Why? Oh, God is so merciful that He has given so much things in my life. So that's why it's my responsibility, duty to put His picture in my house and worship Him. They don't have much love for Him, but because He has given us so many things, so let us worship. He will not give, then I will not worship. So out of duty, oh, so many nice things He has provided us. Like, you know, how many of you agree that we have been gifted so many things in our life by God, nature? So many things, isn't it? So many things. The gift of God is so great, you know. The most important thing in our life is maximum freely available. What is the most important thing in our life? Air. Air is the maximum. We need air maximum, isn't it? But just imagine, even suppose water. Water, if you forget to take water, still there is no danger. But suppose you forget to take air, and air is not available below your nose, what is going to happen? So God knows that because without air we cannot live even for 2 minutes. That's why He knows that they will forget. That's why He has made arrangement that air is always available below our nose 24 hours. Whether we forget or we remember. Have you ever thought of this? Never. Because we take things as granted. This is what I deserve. I deserve that air should be below always my nose. Whether even if I am sleeping. We never think like this, contributions of the God in our life. So the thing which is most maximum needed, that is most free available for us, that is the God, nature of God. Nowadays, the water was also free, but nowadays, when human beings are giving water, they are putting in the bottle, and the same water, they are giving, take 10 rupees, 12 rupees. But from the God side, it is freely available, isn't it? So that is, so duty bound. So we should, even we should duty bound, we can approach God. But the highest way to approach God is simply out of love. Oh God, I don't want to expect anything from you. I know that you are great, and I know that my duty is to love you, because you have so much love for us. So it's in return, I should reciprocate accordingly, and I should simply love. So the genuinity of religion can be understood by how much the followers of that religion have developed the love for God. Whether the followers of religion are approaching the God out of fear, or out of some desire, or out of duty, or out of love. So from that we can understand the genuinity of the religion. The purest form of religion is that the followers will simply love God without anything in return, expecting any return. That is the purest form of religion, highest religion. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam says, Savai punsam paro dharmo yatha bhaktir adhokshaje ahaitukiya pratihata yayatma suprasidati. Savai punsam paro dharmo. Punsa means human being. And paro dharmo. Paro dharmo means highest religion. So, for human being, highest religion, what is highest religion? Is that yatha bhakti radhokshaje. Bhakti means loving service. Adhokshaje. Adhokshaje means God. So, what is the highest kind of religion? The loving service to the God. And what is the nature of that loving service? Ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki means without any motivation. Without any cause that if I do this, then God will do this. No. Ahaituki. Without any cause. Causeless service. Without any expectation. And apratihata means 24 hours a day. Yayatma suprasiniti. And when somebody does this, then he becomes happy and pleased. That will please our soul. So this is the highest religion. And this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we are propagating this type of religion. We say from the beginning itself that goal of our life is to develop pure love for the Supreme Lord. Don't ask anything in return. Of course, even devotee, when they feel distressed, then where will they go? They will go to God only. But then they say to the God, that God, please Krishna, I am asking this because I am in this condition, but actually my goal of life is not to ask you anything. My goal of life is to simply love you, serve you. Just like when Prahlad Maharaj, when he was being tortured by Hiranyakashipu, then who appeared? Lord Nrisimhadeva. And he killed Hiranyakashipu. And then Lord Nrisimhadeva was very happy, and then Prahlad Maharaj went and he put garland in the neck of the Lord Nrisimhadeva. And then Lord Nrisimhadeva asked, I am very pleased by your loving service devotion. So please ask something from me. And Prahlad Maharaj is a small child. He is telling. So, do you think, Lord, that I am doing business with you? Am I a businessman? I have been serving you simply out of love. I don't want anything from you. So that is a devotee. Devotee does not accept. Because he knows that God knows better than me what is good for me. So why to ask anything from him? Whatever he gives, that is the best. So these top sorts of philosophy we are propagating in this call. And when we do such type of worship, such type of religion, when we perform, then only we will become happy in our life. That is the secret. You have to understand. Yayatma suprasidati. Such type of worship of the God will please the soul. We are discussing about feeding the soul. this is the food for this world. Selfless service to the Lord. You can rely also. Suppose some of you will do some selfless service to your parents or somebody, how much satisfaction comes? Isn't it satisfactory? More selfless you become, you can feel, derive some satisfaction and happiness in the heart. That is the nature of the soul. And when that propensity of selfless service is reposed to Krishna, God, then there is a maximum happiness, maximum satisfaction. That is what we have to understand. So there are so many religions in this world. But if you want to understand the real genuinity of the religion, which is the most genuine religion, then you can understand from this platform. Where the people approach God out of simply love, without any expectation. Such religion is the highest religion. Savai punsam paro dharma, highest religion. So that's what we have to understand. But in this world, because people are contaminated, impure hearted, so they cannot approach God out of love. You know? So therefore in the scriptures, Vedic scriptures also, there are injunctions that okay, you worship this demigod and then you will get this. You worship this demigod, then you will get this. You worship this demigod, then you will get this. Same Veda says that goal is to, parodharma is to not ask anything from God, simply love. But in the same Vedic scripture, there are some sections where it is mentioned that if you worship this demigod, you will get this. If you worship this demigod, you will get this. So why there is contradictions? So contradiction is, there is no contradiction actually. Contradiction because that type of worship is mentioned for a section of people, those who are in mode of passion. So for passionate people, there is an injunction that if you want to get, because Vedic God knows that there are some section of people who will be in the mode of passion and they will always approach God for some return. So for such people also there is arrangement. And poor people, they are in mode of ignorance, like, you know, they worship. So those who are in mode of ignorance, they worship Lord Shiva or Ghosh and Kali and other worships, you know. Ghosh, they do, next slide, complete. Worship in mode of ignorance. Those fond of material prosperity approach Shiva for benediction. Example, Bhasmasur and Vrikasur. So there was a demon, you know. Bhasmasur. So, you know, once he did austerity and preached Lord Shiva. He was worshipping Lord Shiva. And then what happened? After worshipping, Lord Shiva appeared. He was pleased. Because Lord Shiva is very, you know, very, very kind. He is called Asutosh. He will be pleased by little austerity. Somebody approaches him, he will be very easily pleased. So he pleases even with the demons also. Those who are worshipping in mode of ignorance. Then he appeared, then Bhasmasura asked, so Lord Shiva, please grant me one boon. Yes, what boon? That if I put my hand in anyone's head, then he should burn into ashes. So Lord Shiva is okay, no problem. And but there is problem. What is the problem? That then as soon as he got this boon, he got attracted to Parvati. And she wanted to marry with Parvati. Just see, the people who are worshipping in mode of ignorance, what is their mentality? And then, so how to marry Parvati? So first I have to kill Lord Shiva. So then he started approaching Lord Shiva with his hand. And Lord Shiva now is frightened, what will happen now? So Lord Shiva is running and Bhasmasura is following. And then Lord Shiva cried, oh Krishna, please protect me. What is this? I have given this demon the benediction and I am caught up now. What can I do? Please protect. Then Lord Krishna appeared in the form of beautiful women. And then he came suddenly. The Bhasmasura is walking and suddenly Krishna in the form of beautiful women coming in front. And Bhasmasura said, oh, what is this? He forgot Parvati. And then he asked, who are you, this so beautiful women? I want to marry with you. Then Krishna told, yes, I also want to marry. But first you have to become qualified. Yes, what can I do? So, Krishna wrote, you have to dance in front of me. Then he wrote, yes, it's very easy. So he put his hand on his hand, like he started dancing. He wanted to dance. So then, this is the way how the people, those who are in mode of ignorance, you know, such people, they also worship. But what is their motivation? Their motivation is destruction. Like Ravana. Ravana also worshipped Lord Shiva. Isn't it? Lord Brahma. Such people who have these material desires, they worship the people to get something in return. Something they will get to. So you can see, such people perform severe tapasya like cutting or piercing flesh. Like Ravana, he used to cut his head, you know, and he put in the fire. Do you think that God wants to give us pain? That you cut your head and give him fire? No, God is not like cruel. But such people are like that, in mode of ignorance. They think that this is the way I can please Lord. No, God doesn't want this. Smoke, they take, you know, bhang, ganja, all these things, charas, and they say that Lord Shiva, I am the follower of Lord Shiva, I can take this. So such people are in mode of ignorance. Indulge in matsya, mass, madira and maithun. They do this tantra worship and all those things. Huh? So they use all these things. The sexual relationship with women and they all will keep. But this is the most, the lowest type of worship. Now offer animals or chicken in sacrifice to please Kali. So these are the people, the lowest form of worship where there is no much benefit. And then there are people who worship in the mode of passion, which is mentioned in the scriptures, like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu performed austerity for thousands of years to Lord Brahma. For what purpose? To get some boon in return. He was having hankering for honor, desire for material assets, competitive mentality, desire to become ultimate enjoyer. So with this mentality, some people want to approach God. So they cannot approach Krishna because Krishna cannot provide all these things. So they approach Brahma. And then Brahma appeared and he gave to Hiranyakashipu. And after he gave it to Hiranyakashipu, this boon, what he did? He started killing all these saintly people. He started killing, even he conquered demigods. All these Indras and everybody was in fear in his prison house. And they all approached to Brahmaji. And Brahmaji, what can I do? I have given him benediction that neither he can be killed in the night, nor in the day, nor inside the house, nor outside the house, nor in the sky, not on the ground, nor by the human being, nor by animals. He asked such benediction, you know, that he asked first that let Brahmaji that please make me immortal. I don't want to, nobody can, no, I cannot, should not be killed. But Brahmaji told, I myself am not immortal, how can I make you immortal? So only Krishna can make somebody immortal, but I cannot make. So then he told, he asked something else. So he was very, he thought that I am very clever. So he asked the benediction in such a way that he is almost immortal. I should not be killed neither by human beings nor by animals. So many conditions he put. Brahmaji told, okay, no problem. Tathastu. And then after that what happened? That when he got this benediction, his real face came out. What was the motivation behind this? Austerity, this worship? Motivation was to torture others, to kill others, to destroy others for selfish mentality. Such is the worship in the mode of passion. And then, finally, but nobody interfered. Even Krishna did not interfere in this. But the problem came when this Hiranyakashipu was torturing the devotee of Krishna, Prahlad Maharaj. When he was torturing Prahlad, his own son was torturing. He was telling Prahlad, tell that I am God. Krishna is not God. I am God. And the Prabhupada, no, Veda says Krishna is God. You should also say. Then he asked, he tried to kill him in so many words. Every time Prahlad Maharaj was protected. And then Hiranyakashipu brought him and he asked, where from you are getting so much energy, power, that we are trying to kill you so many ways but you are not being killed? What is the source of your energy? Then Prahlad Maharaj replied that the one who is the source of your energy, the same person is the source of my power also. And he was very angry. You fool, do you think that I am somebody's source of my power? I am the most powerful. Where is that person who is the source of your and my energy? Please show me. Like some people ask, show me God. And then Prahlad Maharaj told, he is everywhere. Then Hiranyakasipu become more angry. Is he everywhere? Yes. Is he in this pillar? Prahlad Maharaj said, yes, he is in this pillar. Everywhere he is. And then he took his club and he hit on the pillar. And suddenly Lord Nisimdev came out of that pillar. He tore the pillar and he came out of the pillar and immediately finished. Hiranyakasipu finished. He came as a half lion and half man form. It is called Narasimha. Narasimha. Nar means human and Simha means to fulfill that. He fulfilled all the conditions of Brahmaji, benedictions. He took him, it was in the evening, Sandhya time, neither it was day nor it was bright night, neither it was like outside. He took him on the door. There is door, na, inside the house and outside, there is door. And he sat on the door and he took Hiranyakasipu on his lap. So he was either on the ground or in the sky, he was on the lap. And then he did not kill him with any weapons, he killed with his nails. So all the conditions were fulfilled and then Hiranyakasipu was killed. So this is the result of the people who worship God in the mode of passion. Because the motivation is wrong. But those who are in the mode of goodness or in transcendental mode, like you can see here, friends of Krishna. Friends of Krishna, they are worshipping Krishna out of love. You see, they are all are serving, trying to somehow give comfort to Krishna. Somebody is singing, somebody is trying to massage his feet, somebody is, you know, fanning him with something, somebody is playing conchal very softly, somebody is, you know, trying to do some. So all these people, they are trying to somehow please Krishna out of love, without any motivation. So such is the called pure love. This is the highest type of religion. And actually we all are supposed to do such religion. When we are in the spiritual world, as we discussed in the fifth session, substance and shadow, we all were doing these activities. Pure love simply to Krishna, God. But when we come in this world, then we start worshipping God in the other goods, goodness or passion or ignorance. So worshipping mode of goodness is recommended worship of Vishnu and Rama. Those who are in this mode, they worship Rama, Krishna or Vishnu. So such people, they approach the Vishnu. Like you can see, there are so many examples like Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, Amrish Maharaj, Narad Muni. So here you don't have to cut your head and put in the fire. Krishna says, patram puspam phalam toyam yami bhaktya prachati. He just offer patram puspam phalam toyam out of love and I'll accept it. So here Krishna is saying, so those who are very good from heart, they, because they don't accept anything, so they don't have to pay much. Simply they have to give their heart to Lord. And such is the called mode of goodness, worship in the mode of goodness. Most essential ingredient is only love or devotion. You may not have big you know, offerings to the Lord, but if you have love and devotion, that is most pleasing to the Lord Krishna. The result of such a worship is purification of heart. When we do such worship to the Lord, then the heart gets purified. By guidance of a pure devotee, one can go beyond these three modes and return back home, back to Godhead. So when we worship the Lord in this mode, the mode of goodness, then we can transcend and we can go back to Godhead by purifying our heart. So this is what worship we propagate in the Krishna consciousness. This slide will skip because we are little late. So here Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita there are so many quotations also. Like you can say that how you say. So whatever we say, then why Krishna is God? Because it is there in the Vedic scriptures. There are so many instances in Vedic scripture where it is mentioned very clearly that Krishna is the God. Like some of the, you can see. Can anybody read this? Aham sarvasya prabho matta sarvam pravartate. In Bhagavad Gita 10th chapter 8th verse, Krishna is saying that I am the source of all spiritual and material world. and everything emanates from me. So from this what we can make out, that in Bhagavad Gita it is clearly mentioned that Krishna is the God, isn't it? So when we say that Krishna is the Supreme Lord and we chant Krishna's name, then it's not baseless, because there is references that Krishna is actually God. Similarly, you can see here, this is the 10th chapter, 39th verse. Yes chapi sarvabhutanam bijam tad aham arjuna natat asti vina yasyam maya bhutan characharam. Means furthermore, O Arjuna, I am the generating seed of all existences. There is no being, moving or non-moving, that can exist without me. So here also you can see the supremacy of Krishna. Krishna is clearly saying that there is no being which is superior to me. This material nature, which is one of my energy, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. So who is the director of all material nature? Krishna. That is he saying in the 9th chapter, 10th verse. Prabham swam avastabhya visrijami punah punah bhut gramam imam krishnam avasam prakrite vasat. The whole cosmic order is under me, and under my will it is automatically manifested again and again. And under my will it is annihilated at the end. So this is what Krishna says in 9th chapter 8th verse. So Krishna is saying that I am the controller of everything. Like that there are so many evidences. I enter into the know that all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from me, but a spark of my splendor. So therefore, Lord Krishna is not only claimed himself to be God, but he proved it by showing the whole universe within his belly. When Arjuna told that I want to see your universal form if you are God, and then Krishna exhibited his universal form. And what Arjuna saw there, you know, Pasyami devan sava deva dehe sarvan tatha bhuta visesa sangan brahmanam isam kamalasanastha sarvanurugan sudibyan. He is saying that brahmanam isam, even I can see in your body Brahma and Shiva. So all demigods he could see in the body of Krishna, universal form of Krishna. So this is the power of Krishna. That's why Krishna has accepted the God. Nobody else has done this universal form. Nobody else has shown this universal form. Krishna has shown. That's why even Brahmaji is saying in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parma Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radir Govinda Sarva Karanam. Brahmaji is saying that Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, and he is the prime cause of all causes. Even in the Brahma Samhita, Brahmaji himself is telling that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Ishvara Parama Krishna. There are so many Ishvara, but the Param Ishvara is Krishna. That is what it is mentioned in scriptures. That's why we again and again say, even Vyasadeva is writing Srimad Bhagavatam, the first canto, 3rd chapter, 28. Ete chamsa kala punsa Krishnas tu Bhagavan Swayam. There are so many incarnations, but the Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan. He is not incarnation. He is the himself God. Some people say, that Krishna is the incarnation of Vishnu. But it's not like that. Here it's clearly mentioned that Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. And Vishnu is the expansion of Krishna. It is mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read very clearly, it is mentioned that Vishnu, the three types of Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu and Shirodakshaya Vishnu. And all Mahavishnu comes from the Sankarsana. And Sankarsana comes from Balram, and Balram comes from Krishna. So like that, this is the category. So Krishna is to Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Swayam Bhagavan. So this is also mentioned in scriptures. So you may ask, okay, Krishna is telling, so scriptures are telling, but is there anybody else also saying? So all sages, like even the Asit, Deval, Narad, Vyasadeva, all these sages also have said the same conclusion. And so then you may ask, these were the personality in the Vedas. What about modern people, recent in the history? So in history also, all the great acharyas, like, you know, Madhvacharya, you can go See, he has temple in the Udupi, Krishna temple. All he has established 8 mathas and everywhere there is the temple of Krishna. Then Ramanujacharya, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They all have confirmed that Krishna is the Supreme Person. Even Shankaracharya summarizes. What is mentioned here? Just you can read. Ekam Sastram Devaki Putra Gitam, Eko Devo Devaki Putra Eva, Eko Mantrastasya Namani Yani, Karmapi Ekatasya Devasya Seva. Ekam Sastram Devaki Putra Gitam. Ek hi Sastra aisa hai jo ki topmost Sastra hai wo Bhagavad Gita. Devaki Putra Gitam. Bhagavad Gita jo ki Devaki Putra kaun hai? Krishna. Krishna jo aap boli gaye jo Bhagavad Gita hai wo sabse topmost scripture. Let there be one scripture, common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko Devo Devaki Putra. Let there be one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna, Devaki Putra. And Eko Mantra Stasya Namani Yani. Let there be only one mantra, the which contains Krishna's name, Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And Ek Karma Pi Ekam Tasya Devasya Seva. Let there be only one service for everybody, that is service to the Krishna. So that's what even Shankaracharya mentioned. So therefore, we have to understand this, that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. That's why we don't, when we say you all worship Krishna, it's not like we are just saying as a sectarian group. No, all the Vedic literatures, all acharyas in the past, they all have accepted this fact that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. No living being is exempt from rendering service to other living beings. So some of you, when we say we should serve Krishna, then you may ask question, why we should serve? Why we should serve? We should become masters. But actually, if you analyze our lives, from the very first day of our life, what are we doing is service. Isn't it? Everybody is serving. Professor is serving students. Students are serving professor. Father is serving son. Son is serving father. Husband is serving wife. Wife is serving husband. The president is serving citizens, isn't it? That's why we say social service, national service, family service. The whole world is, whatever are we doing, even, you know, they become IAS officers. So what is the name of the entrance? Civil services exam. Why services? Everywhere there is seva. Seva. Everybody is doing seva. Service. So this is a common nature. Everybody is serving. But the problem is that we are serving the things, the relationship which are temporary. But when we serve God, then our real service is fulfilled. We develop the love for God, and then our service will, in this world, whatever service we are doing, neither it is satisfies us, nor it is satisfying the person to whom we are serving. Like, you know, one person was saying that when an old man died, so then he died, then his wife was saying that, you know, if he could have been some more years, then it would have been better. Kuch aur thoda seva karke jata to acha tha. Ye thoda aur ek kuch din aur rata to ye aur karke jata. He served whole his life, but still people are not satisfied. So by our service, we can never satisfy anybody in this world, because that is the nature of the... But when we serve Krishna, we get satisfied. At the same time, Krishna is satisfied with our little service. When we do little service to God, then God is satisfied. And we are also satisfied. That is the nature of the soul. We'll go, not going much in detail. No one can live without loving. So, we have to love someone. So, best is to love God, because all other loves are temporary. You can realize also, isn't it? We can love somebody, but that love is temporary. It is going to get finished with this body. But when we love God or we love Krishna, then because Krishna is eternal, and as a soul we are eternal, so our love is eternal. So eternally we can derive pleasure with the relationship with Krishna. So that is the secret of understanding. That's what is said, that amrit. Amarta means when we understand that we are the spirit soul eternal and Krishna God is eternal and we have an eternal relationship with the Krishna, then because that relationship is eternal, the pleasure with that relationship also becomes eternal. So even at the time of death, we will not be fearful because we have established our relationship with the God. So where should we repose our loving is? To God. Loving and service propensity. We should repose our loving and serving propensity to the God. And then we can experience true happiness only by loving and serving God. So there are so many steps of, you know, service to the God. Scripture says, 9 ways of serving God and reviving our love for Him. There are 9 processes through which we can revive our love for Krishna. So, Shravanam means hearing, which you all are doing. Kirtanam means chanting. Smaranam, remembering. Padsevanam, serving. Archanam, worship. Vandanam, prayers. Dasyam, carrying out his instructions. Sakhyam, friendship. And Atmanivedanam, complete surrender. These are the 9 processes through which we can love and serve God. Kirtanam, these are the details. Eternal, this is like we are doing kirtan in the morning, isn't it? So that is one of the way to revive our love and relationship with the God. When you come in ISKCON International Society for Krishna Consciousness, you will find all these 9 things we are doing at one place. We are chanting also, we are doing kirtanam also, we are hearing also, like all of you are hearing, isn't it? We are praying also, Atma Nivedanam. We are following His instruction also, isn't it? By following Bhagavad Gita. We are doing archanam, worship also in the temple, isn't it? So, dasyam, we are serving also. Sakhyam, we are following His instructions. So, all these things are there in the, when you come in this corner and try to follow the process. Okay? So, we'll stop here. The practical application of Gita in our life is that A means there are the 4 do's, that is called ABCD. So at the end of the program, what we would like to expect from all of you, that if you want to really get benefit of the whole series what we have done, then we have to follow this ABCD formula. What is the A? Yes, association of devotees. Always be in the good company. B means books. Read the books. And C means chanting the names of Lord. And D means diet, Krishna Prasad, which we discussed in the 5th session also. So these are the things which we can do to really practically apply the spiritual principles in our life. So here we finish our program. This is quite long presentations. So we'll stop here, and if you have any questions, we can take it up now. Otherwise, we'll stop here. Any questions? Why Krishna is giving energy? We discussed this in the 3rd session, isn't it? 3rd session we have discussed that because the both things are there in this world. Good things are also there and bad things are also there. Because there are some people who wants good thing and who wants bad thing. So Krishna has to fulfill desires of both types of people. That's why He gives. But He expects that His children should accept good things. That's why He gives Bhagavad Gita also. And He tells that, my dear sons, please don't accept bad things. He says in Bhagavad Gita, this is bad and this is good. And I expect that you should accept only good things. Isliye dete hain ki they want it. Yeah. It's not good, but we have discussed a lot on this topic. Actually, because he wants it, so he will not, you know, reject. That is Krishna's love for us. He is such a person that he never forces anything. He will tell you that this is bad, this is good. But still if you insist, then he will provide. He is not a lover who will pinpoint gun and say, no, you have to do this only. No. He will suggest us like a dear friend that this is good, this is bad, please don't do this bad. But still you insist, then he is forced to provide. Of course he is not forced, but generally he does not interfere in our free will. This is the reason. We can discuss further in later. This is the basic thing. Okay, any other question? They follow. Some of them, not all. Even in India also, there are so many people, they say, I am Hindu. But if you ask how many of them have seen Bhagavad Gita in their life, what do you speak of reading? 70-80% people have not seen at all Bhagavad Gita in their life. So what is the use of being such Hindu? But of course there are people who read Bhagavad Gita and they apply also Bhagavad Gita in their life. Very few, but very few. That's why they don't follow. It's difficult. That's why there is no, even in Islam, they are not true Islam also. Muslim. They say that they are Muslim, but actually they are not Muslim. That's why I gave the example of Bhagavad Gita. They say that I am Hindu, but they don't know what is Hinduism. What is there in Bhagavad Gita? That's why I said Bhagavad Gita. Because Bhagavad Gita says that just simply for stamp purpose we cannot be Hindu. Then we will not get the benefit of this religion. Even a person, if he is true Muslim, he will find the God in his life. But because they are not following even true Islam also, that's why they will not find benefit. That is the point. Simply on the ritual way they do. Ritual, they go to masjid, so many things. But actually, unless and until they don't stop eating, there is not going to be benefit. So that is the point. We have to understand. Namesake Islam is not going to work. Namesake Hindu is not going to work. Like it's just like you are engineer. You don't study anything and you somehow get degree, certificate. But when you will be put on the field, then what will you do? You don't have a study. You have not studied. So how will you work there? There you will fail. So similarly, at the time of death, they have to fail. They have to give the account of their activity in the whole life. And that time they cannot say, Allah, I followed your instructions. Or Krishna, I followed your instructions. So finally, all the life they may be saying that I am a great Hindu or I am a great Muslim. But then at the end they have to account for it. Simply, by birth, if we are in the Hindu family, we cannot be Hindu or Muslim. We have to act as the Hindu, real follower of Sanatana Dharma. Then only you can be.
Like you said, there are so many things that are left that is unclear now. Everything, full evidence is still not there.
For what?
When I say, I don't know whether, like you see, one of 16,000 temples, people say 16,000 temples.
Palaces.
People say that Vishnu appeared and put them in the moment he went. But I have no evidence to see what
was. Evidence is there, no. Evidence is.
Okay.
You accept Veda or not?
Huh?
You accept Veda or not? That's why we took third session.
No.
That's what it's called Ardh Kukut Nyay. Ardh Kukut Nyay means there was a farmer and he was having one hen. So hen was giving egg. So then he thought after some time that hen is giving egg from backside. And from front side I have to feed. So if I cut hen in half, I keep only back side. And I will not keep front side. So I don't have to feed the hen and I will get eggs also. So similarly, I should accept that part of the Veda which is like which I am using, understanding, and the other parts which I am not understanding I should reject. That is not working. Another example, suppose in your mathematics book, first fifth chapter if you are studying and you are accepting it. And other 10 chapters because you are not understanding, because you are not, you know, qualified, or you are not perfect enough to understand that knowledge. So you just reject it. That's not the process. This is the same. This is not changed, no. So everywhere you find the Vedas, all over the India, this is the same text you will find. There is no difference that one place Yajurveda is something else and other place it is something else. It is the same text everywhere. Bhagavad Gita, you will find copy of Bhagavad Gita everywhere. It is same. Understand your point? Bhagavad Gita you find in South India and you find in the North India copy. Maybe from different sampradaya, but the texts are same. Understand your point? So there is no variation. You are telling a point that there may be changes from the original, but that is not happening. Nowhere, everywhere you find Bhagavad Gita, the texts are same. So how can I, where is the, or like Darwin said, that there may be that ape came from monkeys, human came from monkey, but till today there is no evidence for that. So maybe there are so many things, maybe, but even single evidence should be there, can so bring front, then we can accept that. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Maybe
so, but you should provide some support evidence, no? Understand your point? You are saying just, but you provide some proof that here I saw that Bhagavad Gita in the Uttar Pradesh, I found a Bhagavad Gita where text were different and than what was there in the Bihar. You say some experience, observation, then I find out. But till today there is no such observation. Everywhere the Vedic knowledge is same. So you are simply saying, maybe. That's why I am telling maybe. You say something without any support, which is not existing.
I see, there are things that are not going to work, but might have been possible. So, what I mean is, okay, still now, you haven't remembered in this vast, you know, like, probably human knowledge hasn't been able to observe that. Should I risk my spiritual, should I risk my sensual, intellectual and mental happiness for spiritual happiness?
No, you should, there is no risk. Where is risk? This, if you are doing this, practicing spiritual life, there is benefit. There is no risk. If you come to the spirituality, is it risk? It is for benefit. You are getting benefited. Simply we are spending so much time not to simply to prove that God exists. This is the basic thing on which when you base your whole life, then you are going to get the joy and happiness in your life. You are going to get pleasures in your life. So this is not a risk. Risk means what? There is danger. If I follow this path, there is danger. Yes. Yes, like same question. Yes, same question was asked by Srila Prabhupada to one person. He asked the question that, Srila Prabhupada, you say that Krishna is there, but suppose if you die, and at the time of death you came to know that Krishna is not there, then what will you do? Then Prabhupada told that, so what is the problem? Anyway, we are eating, dancing nicely, having nice food, we are living peacefully, we are happy, we are not harming anybody in this life. So even though, suppose in the case, because there is no other way to answer such people, even in case Krishna is not there, we are happy in this life, we are blissful, we are dancing, eating nice prasad. You all ate nice prasad, nice food, sattvic food. But then Krishna, Prabhupada asked, but suppose if you die and find that Krishna is there, then what will you do? Because if Krishna is there, then Yamraj is also there. Then what will you do? Because throughout life you have done godless life. So the when a person he follows God, then both ways he is in benefit. Even in this life he is in benefit, and even life after death also he will be in benefit. So even if you don't have developed that much conviction, because it's not possible to have full 100% faith in first day itself. Understand point? What is good without God? What good you are going to do in this world? Please tell me. Anything, any one single thing. Technology is comfortable, but you can see the result of technology without God. We are showing you from the first day beginning of the statistics of technological advancement without God. That the statistic in USA, 10 crores people are they suffering from mental problems. Without God, if you live the life like that, then that is the problem he's going to face. First day itself we are focusing this mind. There is nothing till the today, there is nothing good has come out. There is no success without bringing God in life. You may have great technological advancement, but without God, it is 100% sure that you are not going to become happy in any field of your life. And there are innumerable proofs you can see. You can see the practical things. See, suppose something passes over the head, that is another thing. But something which is taking place in front of your eyes, how can you ignore that? That America is the leading country in the entire world in field of science and technology. There the people are suffering. How can you deny this fact? Leave about God and others. What can you tell? Technological advancement they are making. Do you think that you are going to do better than America? Something newer than America? And the same frustration is coming. Suppose in America, I was saying from first day, you should be intelligent enough to understand that 67% marriages are breaking within 3 years. Do you think this is very good congenial advancement for living? Why it is happening? We should understand, technological advancement is not everything. And how to control this? All of the other efforts are failing. Only because, unless you don't bring God consciousness in life, that is not going to happen. There is hundreds of attempts have been made. That's why I gave an example of the 5 years plan. From the 1950, we are making so many 5 years of plan without God. But every time our plans are failing. 50 years, so much advancement. But ultimately, result is down. But you see, in the Krishna consciousness movement, people, those who accept Krishna consciousness, God consciousness, just feel they may not be that much technologically advanced or very, like I gave example of people of Bangladesh. They are not very technologically advanced, but they are the happiest people, happiest country in the world. The United Nations statistics says. Because these people, those people who are not advanced too much technologically, at least they have one faith in their life, they are God-centered people. So therefore, when you bring God in your life, automatically, there is no need to prove. Just like you take food in your stomach, there is no need to prove that you are satisfied. Automatically you will feel that you are feeling satisfied. Similarly, when you bring God in your life, there is no need to prove. You will find the joy and happiness in your life. That itself is the proof. You may be asking doubts. You ask so many doubts. But the best thing is that you start the process. And if it doesn't work, then don't accept. The best thing is you start the process. If it is not working, then you question. And from the beginning itself, far itself, no, I will not go. I will not go to the school. I will not go to this. Why? Because in the school, the teacher always beats others. And go to school and see what is happening there. Why you are from distance itself always telling, no, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad, this is bad. And then we will never get benefit of the things. That is the problem. Unless we don't try to practice it, we will never get benefit. So this is the one thing. So without God, no one has become happy till today, and neither anyone can become happy. This is in future also. So that is the point. It's what we have to understand. And at the end, you may be thinking that 60, 70 years I will be happy in this life. But then ultimately everything will be taken away. And the pain of everything is taken away with which you are so much attached is so much that itself is a great pain. What pleasure you are going to get in the old age? Old is coming. And suppose God is there and reincarnation we prove. This is a fact. How can you reject reincarnation? Is it bad? Is it false? And if it is reincarnation, you have to take birth again in this world. Then again you have to undergo so many sufferings of this world. Again birth, death, old age and disease. So why you want to suffer again and again? If God is giving you option, simply you come and start loving me. So no, if still we persist that no, I want to go in this way only, then this is always choice. Krishna says, Arjuna, I have said everything to you. Now it's up to you to decide what you want to do. It's up to us. So technological advancement is good, but without God, it is a failure. It has been proved, and it will always happen. You can see this numerous examples, isn't it? You can see the example. No, America has failed, but we will pass. We will become happy after technological advancement. The things already have been started. I was in Pune. They say that every day there are 7 divorces taking place in Pune. Earlier it was not the case. Do you feel divorce rate is a very good thing for the society, for the people? So if we don't accept, then it's up to us. We have to decide. So thank you very much. If you have personal questions, personal discussion, you can further ask. We will stop here. And there is another session that is called feedback and realization session, which we are going to hold now. You can tell your feedbacks, how you felt in this whole program from yesterday and today. That is the point. Next hour program. So now we will proceed further. We can have 5 minutes. Kirtan karta hai, kirtan karta.
Kitne long?
Bilkul 5 minutes before they say something. Realization se samjho.
Kirtan karta hai, koi baat lege hai. Par unko pata nahi jane ko kam se bolne.
Then we do realization se.
Do that. No one is going to ask me so much.
काफी सारे डाउट्स हैं।